I don't use the Lord's Prayer in many of the services I lead. And partly that's because of Matthew 6:6. When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Now, this sanctuary is very nice, but it's not my room, and it's not your private place either. A similar setting of the Lord's Prayer is given to those first disciples in Luke. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Well, where was that certain place? Susanna Wesley, known for being the mother of John and Charles Wesley, famously used her apron as a signal to her children that she was in prayer and needed to be left alone. She just flipped it up over her head. Obviously, her apron is much cleaner than mine at home. By pulling her apron over her head, she created a quiet space for herself to pray and study the scriptures, even amidst the noise and activity of her large family. She actually gave birth to, deep breath everybody, 19 children. Ouch. This practice became a way for her to maintain her private time with God and a reminder to her children to respect her need for quiet prayer time. And the other problem I have with the Lord's Prayer is what happens in afterwards, which we read earlier. And by the way, this rarely gets a mention. And I'm not surprised. Listen to it again. Your Heavenly Father will forgive you if you forgive those who sin against you. But if you refuse to forgive them, he will not forgive you. Now, I don't know about you, but that is not the loving, merciful Father God that I like to hear about. So is there any hope for us at all? I'm going to read from Adrian Plass's book, Blind Spots in the Bible. There's a crucially important spiritual law laid down in these words. It dictates that if we do not forgive, we cannot be forgiven. And don't ask me why God can't break his own law if he wants to. I don't know why. I just know that he can't. And Jesus is anxious that we should not suffer from the negative consequences of breaking that law. There is a state, perhaps simply separation from the love of God, which will be akin to torture. It will hurt and hurt forever and ever. And Jesus and his Heavenly Father do not want that for us. They passionately want for us to be in heaven with them, which is okay, but some of us find it very difficult to forgive. For instance, there was a woman Bridget and I met after an evening talk in the Midlands. It began well. We performed two new sketches for the first time, which is always a nerve-wracking business, and they seemed to work. People laughed in the right places, and we managed to keep straight faces where appropriate. It was a warm and supportive atmosphere. Our audience, mainly local church folk, nodded and smiled affirmingly as we went on to talk about the crucial need to look after each other and to forgive each other freely when we felt we had suffered hurt. It seemed to go well, and afterwards, as we moved to the back of the hall to sign books and chat to people, we felt content. The major part of the task was over, and our material had been well received. I hate the woman next door to me. I'm never going to forgive her. The first person to approach us after our talk made this statement in an unabashed, matter-of-fact tone. "Oh, but surely. She accused me of something I never did, and as far as I'm concerned, that's it. Some things you can't forgive." I gazed at her for a moment, nonplussed. We'd just spent an hour talking about the need to love and forgive our enemies as well as our friends. Had it meant nothing to this woman? I did try. I honestly did. I reminded her of the things Jesus said in the passage that appears above. But if ever anyone had a blind spot, this was hers. It was as though the eyes of her mind and spirit were not capable of comprehending the proposition that followers of Jesus might move beyond the place of their own chaotic feelings, or set aside the rights granted by the world for the sake of peace in the family of God. She was very calm. She just couldn't see it. She was blind. And I pray to this day that her sight will be restored. It rather spoiled the evening. That woman is by no means alone, although I have had problems with forgiveness from time to time. Most of us have. Fair enough. So one more point. Clearly we cannot reach the perfect standard that Jesus demands, not on this side of the grave. That's indisputably true. We do have to bear in mind one rather important little point, though. Just a little point. Jesus died for us. The full meaning of that phrase is a cosmos away from our understanding. But there's one thing that Adrian Plass does hazily comprehend. Intercession by Jesus to his Father on our behalf makes us perfect in God's sight. As long as we continue to confess our shortcomings, which of course includes any failure to forgive. And we obediently cooperate with the Holy Spirit in finding ways to deal with our weaknesses, including the failure to forgive, and move forward as far as we are able. Perhaps God is rather like the best of old-fashioned bank managers. As long as you stay in touch, something can always be worked out. Now, I think we have a prayer next.